Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Really glad you tuned in today. Happy Wednesday to you. I hope your week has been going great. Well, we've got an important show for you today. This is actually our Prayer and Praise Day, so I asked for your prayer requests and even your praise reports on my Facebook page. And if you want to check it out, it's facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. I'm going to pray for each one of you by name, and I'd love to hear just some of the things God is doing in your life. Well, today we also are joined by national recording artist Brian Olson. We're going to talk about his music, his ministry, and his mission to end human trafficking. And as you know, that's an issue that's very, very close to my heart. So I want to get right into the conversation. Let me tell you about our guest, and we'll get him on the show. Brian Olson's a lead singer and founding member of the Christian band VODA, formerly known as Casting Pearls. Before his involvement with VODA, he toured around the world for 3 years with the Newsboys as their guitarist. And you can find more about his music and ministry at the on his website, VODAband.com. I'm going to spell that V-O-T-A, VODAband.com. Brian, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, Susie. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to talking with you. And we start out all of our interviews talking scripture, and you chose Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. How about if I read it, and I'd love to have you just share why this passage is so important to you.
Sure.
The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. That's powerful. Talk to us about that passage.
Well, I just love how without words anyone can look to the sky and literally see something that they can't comprehend.
That's so true.
How it's there. And it says a lot of things. It says how our eyes, we just get used to seeing amazing things, and we just so easily our hearts write it off as, oh, it's just common to wake up and see a beautiful sunrise. It's just common to see stars as far as the eye can see at night. But the God behind that and how he holds it together and you know, our minds can barely hold it, and that God loves us dearly and loves us personally. So there's so much, for me, there's so much in that, and that's even where the song that we had called God of the Universe came from. Just the fact that, you know, the stars in the sky are God's fireworks. They're amazing, and we can't comprehend it, but it's still just scratching the surface of who God is.
That's so beautiful. You know, I still can't see a sunrise or sunset without stopping and sometimes even gasping, but just it grabs me to no end because the sky really is a canvas, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And just the way that God's designed it to be ever-changing.
Yeah.
This is always, it never gets old. It's just beauty in itself.
I love that. Oh, I appreciate you sharing that so much. Well, how about if you give us a little backstory about your spiritual journey, maybe even what it was like for you growing up and how God really grabbed your heart?
I grew up in not a Christian home. My family, I'm from Connecticut. So in the Northeast, and we never set foot in a church for any reason. So I kind of grew up with a not even a religious background, just no spiritual background at all. And so that really made. I remember in entering my early teens, you know, just things didn't add up. I would just lay awake at night looking at my ceiling and thinking about the fact that I loved being alive. I loved the people in my life, even though my life was a mess. You know, my family split when I was 9 or 10, and I spent most of my time with my grandmother. My mom had to work crazy hours just to make things work, and I didn't see my dad for years. But I still loved being alive, and I thought it just didn't make a lot of sense that we were just all going to die someday. And I knew there was something more, and I didn't know what it was. So I suppose that search and that yearning started at an early age, but it wasn't until my early high school years, I got invited to a youth group activity from a kid in my public high school. And I grew up a city kid, and we just moved to my mom finally could afford a house, which was great to have my own room, but I was bored out of my mind. I missed being in the city and around all my friends. And so, but God used that because I went to this youth group activity because I needed something to do. And that's where I heard the gospel. So I gave my life to Christ when I was 14, and thought I wanted to be like my youth pastor, and went to Bible college and in Wisconsin in a small Bible school in the middle of nowhere. So that kind of started my spiritual journey.
Isn't that amazing that, you know, God was priming your heart, you know, before you even knew he existed?
Oh, yeah. To have that perspective, you know, I'm so thankful now that my children get to grow up in a home where God is everywhere. We talk about God. They go to Christian school or at church, but it was very unique, you know, for me to remember the time when, man, there has to be something more. I can feel it in my bones, but I don't know what it is. Something didn't add up, you know, just the thought of death just made life kind of cruel, you know, with no meaning.
Well, this is a tiny bit off topic, but it just goes to show you how important it is for these young kids to be inviting other kids to youth group. I can't tell you how many times we've had significant influencers on the show, and you trace it back to some friend, somebody taking the risk, saying, would you come to youth group with me, or you come to church with me? And that's not always a comfortable thing to do, but boy, that's important, isn't it?
Oh, so simple. And not only that, but when that person actually gets to the youth group, you know how it is when you have your friends that you're most comfortable with, and when someone new comes along, sometimes it just takes energy, it takes thoughtfulness just to engage in someone new. And I tell you what, I only came back to that youth group because the kids were nice to me and they welcomed me. And I kind of thought they were going to treat me a certain way when I got there, and that didn't happen. You know, they noticed me, and just that probably brought me back 4 or 5 times. Maybe there was some cute girls there too. But the combination of all those things and the people accepting me as who I was, that's what spoke to me first, and eventually I heard the gospel.
Wow. Well, if you just tuned in today, I'm really glad you joined us. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Brian Olson. He's lead singer of VOTA, but he's also on a mission to see human trafficking put to an end, as am I. And there are a lot of people God is raising up to be a voice for the voiceless. And if you want to see a gripping video, I actually posted it on my Facebook page and already received some responses from it. It's from Brian's website. I want you to check it out, and it's at votaband.com, and that's VOTA band.com. And you hear a story of a beautiful young girl who was tricked into trafficking, which so often is the case. She thinks she's going to have a job to help her family, tricked into a brothel. Oh, boy, what she endured was horrific. You know, I've heard these stories over and over again, Brian, and they always grab my throat. I'm sitting in my cubicle watching that video on your website, and I'm crying because you see the trauma on her face, this sweet, beautiful face, and that her story is one of millions, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. And, you know, the other difficult thing about her story is, you know, there's a translator there, and we know the full story where the translator, she's breaking up crying because she's trying to find words in English that she can say that aren't as graphic as what she's being told. Mm. She's really trying to water down the story as much as possible of what happened to Mina, and she can barely get through it as well. So it's terrible. I mean, just even think about your family being in such a poor financial position where you would even consider sending your young daughter out to cross the border and be in another country to help make ends meet. That's just even the depravity of the situation of how poor some of these families are. So and then to have something like this happen just makes a worse situation that much more terrible.
Yeah. Well, I received a Facebook message from a friend on Facebook, and she says, I'm not sure if you have time to answer this, but do you know where the girls go that are rescued through the VOTA and the Tiny Hands International? I love the idea of helping to rescue them, but are they given help afterwards? All of these organizations are doing great things, but which ones are best to support with my money? I have unlimited funds to help them all, but I have to do something. So what can you say about that?
Sure. You know, the one reason why I chose to work with Tiny Hands International is because I live in Lincoln, Nebraska, and they're actually based in Lincoln. I've gotten to know the directors and many people on the staff personally, and they actually started out years ago in building orphanages in Nepal, and they didn't really start with the intent in fighting human trafficking. They just really got thrown into that because most of the children and some of the boys and girls that they would receive in the orphanages were taken from trafficking. And so they just realized, wow, this is something else that we need to fight. And so, you know, many years ago they started combating that. Now, I know that what they try to do is, and I can maybe explain the whole process, but I'll at least to answer that question, if they can, they try to reunite them with the family. If there's no family to reunite these girls with, there's an option that they've got orphanages and children's homes that they've already have established because that was their initial ministry. So it's usually one of those places. They will find a place for the girl. Hopefully, usually they're able to reunite them with their family.
So we're going to go through that process, and we're even going to talk about your campaign. But if you don't mind, I want to go back again. So you received Christ in youth group. You became a Christian. When did you first sense, Brian, the call of God in your life? When did you discover a talent and a knack and a desire for music?
Well, you know, the music desire actually was before I became a believer. And what was unique is I actually became a Christian in a very strict, legalistic background where rock and roll was considered really a sin. And that almost hindered me coming to God because I thought, you know, I loved music was such my identity at that time that the thought of possibly giving that up was almost impossible to comprehend. But I did for a time as a teenager give up music. I played electric guitar and I kind of put that down for a while. And though looking back, you know, I realized there was nothing wrong with that. It was good for me during that season to lay aside something that was such my identity. You know, as a young person, I wanted to be known as I'm a rock and roller. This is who I am. And really it gave me a foundation to go, okay, God, I want my foundation to be in you and to grow in that sense. So I've always had this dream of wanting to do music, but I really just didn't think it was possible. You know, it's not something you fill out an application and turn it in and go, here's your job as a rock and roller, you know, or as a musician. And I always had this something deep inside of me that I wanted to do that. And the way God eventually opened those doors and kind of gave that opportunity back to me was really more than I ever dreamed of.
Can I ask, how did that happen?
Yeah, at first, I started realizing that even within the Bible school I was going to, that some of these topics that we get hung up on, the legalism, was just warping my view of God. I really just thought God was just waiting there to drop the hammer on me when if I listened to a rock song or something like that. And I just wasn't getting to know who God was and how beautiful His grace and mercy is and His love for me. And that's what really changes the heart.
Yeah.
And not just, you know, keeping your hair cut short and not swearing and those things. That's just religiosity. You know, that's not a true relationship. And so once I moved past that, I was able to get back into music and start writing music on my own. And we would start doing band things on the weekends and traveling. And after a while, you know, one of the members, Peter Furler of the Newsboys, was very interested in our band Casting Pearls at the time. And I got to know him. And I remember just dreaming and wanting to be involved in music and do it full time. And I just never thought it would happen. And one day I get this call from Peter and he said that their guitarist wasn't able going to tour with them any longer. And he just, for some reason, thought of me and wanted to offer me the opportunity. And here I am, I'm married. I've got two children at this point.
I have to count. And
it's funny. I had to pause for a moment because the day I had an emergency meeting with my wife to tell her I just got this amazing offer to join the Newsboys, she was just at the doctor and found out we were pregnant with our third child.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was a pretty fun and crazy day.
Hmm.
But here God took this guy out of the middle of nowhere in Lincoln, Nebraska with a family and said, yes, I'm going to fulfill one of your lifelong desires. So I had just this beautiful time of traveling in one of the biggest bands in Christian music and seeing the world. You know, I got to travel all over the world with the Newsboys and be a part of just things like the Grammys and just all these amazing, wonderful things. And I learned just so much during that time. And one of the things I remember learning was, you know what? Getting everything you want in your dream is not enough. It wasn't long before my heart was going, huh, what's next?
Hmm.
What else you got? And I realized if my joy and my peace isn't parked in my relationship with Christ, then nothing else is ever really going to fill that. So,
wow. Powerful word, Brian. I'm so glad. Those are nuggets that I'm always looking for when I hear a story. And so I so appreciate what you're saying here. Well, how about you set up the song You Alone? Give us a little bit of background on that one.
Well, yeah, I need to spend a moment just on this one because I wrote that song many years ago, and I really wanted to have a twofold meaning. One, for the believer, you know, ironically, I'm still back to that place of I need to let go of even sometimes the blessings of God and realize, man, sometimes you can get caught up in all the good that God gives you, and you forget about the giver.
Mm.
And you might even try to find your peace and contentment in all the blessings God gives you rather than God himself. But also as a basic message of salvation, you have to let go of your good, your bad, and it's all about what Christ did for us. So I'm letting go of all that I know. I'm holding on to you alone. I lay it all down at your feet. I want you alone. And that's where salvation starts. And the crazy, beautiful thing about the story of this song is, you know, ever since I became a believer at 14, the thing that I desire most in my life, even to this day, is I want my people in my family to know Jesus. And early on, you know, the person that was on my heart the most was my grandmother because, you know, she was older and I spent so much of my childhood with her that we were just so very close. And I wrote letters to everyone in my family telling them about my relationship with Jesus. I just thought it was going to be easier to spend time and write it out in a letter and let them reflect on it without, you know, me fumbling over words. And so I wrote this letter to my grandmother, and I remember being scared to write it because I didn't want to offend her. And I wrote at the bottom of the letter, Graham, I just had to tell you this because I love you. You've sacrificed so much for me, but Jesus, we all need Jesus, and this is the most important thing in life. And I'll never bring up this letter to you unless you want to talk about it. She never did mention it. A week went by, 2 weeks, a month, and she never mentioned the letter. And boy, I would just sit there going, is she just upset at me? I assume she made no peace with God because I would assume she would have told me. And then about many years later, I get a call from my aunt that my grandmother was in the hospital and she wasn't doing well. And I flew out to Connecticut to be with her. And when I got there, she was very sick, and I knew that this was near the end of her time. It was almost as if she was holding on for me to get there too, because she when I got to her hospital room, she gave me a big wet grandma kiss. And she laid back down, and it's like life started escaping her. I started thinking about that letter I wrote, and I said, you know, God, I promised that I would not talk to her about the letter, but I said, if you gave me a chance, I'm going to break that promise. I'm going to talk about you to her. And about 3-4 days at the hospital, she had a great day where she was feeling a lot better, and my heart was racing because I'm like, okay, Lord, this is my shot. This is my opportunity to talk about you. And when she noticed that I was in the room, she actually waved over for me to come close, and she took all her strength just to speak to me. But when she spoke, she said, Brian, I want to know God.
Mm.
And it was an amazing gift that God gave me to be with her in that moment. I didn't have to break my promise. Here's my grandmother, you know, crying out to me, and then I'm praying with her as she's accepting Jesus.
Wow.
And what's so amazing about that, she passed away about just over a week later, and I'm sitting at her funeral and I'm reflecting on her life, and I can't believe what has just happened. You know, I'm sad that she's gone, but I'm so thankful that God had me be a part of something so amazing and special in her life. And this music is playing. My grandmother's a big Elvis fan. A lot of cool old Elvis music was playing. And all of a sudden, this song, You Alone, that I wrote, starts playing on the speakers. And you have to realize that my family doesn't follow much. They didn't follow much what I did in music. So the fact that one of my songs is playing at my grandmother's funeral was very surprising to me. And my aunt sat next to me while the song was playing, and she said, I want you to know that this was a favorite song of your grandmother. Oh, she listened to it in her time when she was hurting in the hospital. And I never would have dreamed that a song I wrote years ago would eventually be a testimony to God changing my grandmother's heart and bringing her to him.
Brian, I just have these holy goosebumps going right now. And this just shows you that our unsaved family members are watching us more closely than we even know. And we've got just about 5 minutes before the break, so we're going to get as much of this song as in before then. Let's hear it.
I've come to your throne here, cold and alone. I'm calling on your name. I lift my hands to the sky, open wide, and I cry, Lord, take me away. Take this heavy heart, this weary soul, set them free. Remove myself till there's nothing left but you alone in me. I'm letting go of all that I know. I'm holding on to you alone. I lay it all down here at your feet. I want you alone, you alone. If I go to the heavens above, I know, Lord, you are there. And if I make my
You know, the gifts from God's hands, they pale in comparison to knowing his heart. And what a message from Brian Olson. Brian, I'm just choked up at the thought of your grandma listening to your music over and over again, even oblivious, your whole family not really knowing what you do, but she having her eyes on you and, you know, watching your life. Isn't that amazing when you think about it?
Yeah.
Oh, just amazing. Wow, I'm so glad you tuned in today. This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. We're talking to Brian Olson. He's lead singer of the band Voda. He's a former guitarist for Newsboys, talking about his ministry, about his music, and about his mission to end human trafficking. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how these two things converged, how his music and his ministry and his mission converge. You know, God is in the house today, and it's so wonderful to hear what God is doing through Brian's music. And Brian, we're going to hear a little bit more of your, a few more songs from you as well. So we're looking forward to that. Really glad to have you with us, Brian. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, so happy to be here.
That's great. So we maybe you've got questions or comments for our guest today. We'd love to hear that as well. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, feel free to email me your questions and comments. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. You notice that new address? We got a brand new website. You have to check that out, myfaithradio.com. More with Brian Olson in just a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're talking to Brian Olson. He's lead singer of the band Voda. He's a former guitarist for Newsboys, and he's a man on a mission to see human trafficking end. And before the break, we heard an amazing backstory of how Brian got to lead his grandma to the Lord, and this song, You Alone, was played at her funeral. That was overwhelming. I mean, were you listening to that, just sitting back as an artist listening to that song in that context? That had to have moved you even so, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's amazing how you just sometimes forget, and it's good to retell stories because you revisit areas where God's done amazing work, and sometimes we doubt that he's going to continue to use you, and it's just blessed to be used in any sort of way. So it's always fun to tell stories like that because it reignites my soul.
So much. And a couple of things that stand out. Once again, that person inviting you to youth group, taking that initiative, you taking the initiative with your grandma. I mean, there's something there where we've really got to be listening to that voice of the Lord and step out and reach out to the lost, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
So good. Okay, so let's talk about when did God awaken your heart to the issue of human trafficking?
You know, honestly, I wanted to talk with Tiny Hands about what they're doing. They do a lot of amazing work in Nepal, and I wanted to do something in the realm of human trafficking, but I didn't want to say we're fighting human trafficking. I knew for this sort of campaign and what we were trying to do, I wanted to hone in on something very specific and very tangible. And what intrigued me about this opportunity was the fact that we could prevent terrible tragedy from happening, not just rescue girls from a terrible tragedy, but here was a specific plan that we could help prevent this from happening to these young girls. And so I was really excited for the fight for that, and I thought, you know, here's something our band could do in a small way, and that's how I want to encourage people. I don't want just to encourage people to get involved with what we're doing, but I want them to also be encouraged that, well, here's a band from Nebraska kind of going down a different path, and here's how they're trying to impact the kingdom. What's God given me, and how can I impact the kingdom in my own way? You know, I kind of want to, I hope it inspires people in that sense too, not just to join our campaign, but you know, go, hey, if they can do that, I can do this. I never looked at the way that I approach this. We could do it in a different way, because it's even the Christian industry. Some of the record labels we talked to, they don't understand what we're doing, and they didn't really jump on board to be involved because, quite honestly, they didn't see how they were gonna make money with it. And so sometimes you have to take a different path, and God calls you a different path, even within a Christian industry.
Yep. You know, and what I hear you saying and what we say often, really, you look at your interests and you look at your influence, which you have both, and how can God use those? I've heard of people doing, you know, justice runs where they're a runner, so they organize a 10K in their community, and it grows by leaps and bounds, and they use that interest and that influence to impact, you know, the kingdom for justice sake. And so it's amazing how if we just bring our interests and our influence before God and say, use me right where I live. And that's exactly what you're doing. And so talk about this campaign and this unique angle with the Border Patrol. I just found that fascinating.
Well, Tiny Hands has been doing work in Nepal for years. And the authorities, the government in Nepal, has given Tiny Hands permission to put border monitoring stations at each one of the 26 border points between Nepal and India. And what's happening is these traffickers are coming into Nepal and they're targeting the poor families, and they're basically coming in as like employment agents saying, hey, you know, if you send your daughter, we can actually get her some work in India and make money for your family. So, and a lot of times they get a lot of money out of these families. So the families take their life savings and send their daughter over with this so-called employment agent, and they go straight across the border, and then once they get across the border, these traffickers just sell these girls to a brothel where, you know, it's terrible what happens even on the first day. Mm. And so I won't go into that, but it's awful, and then most of them never return. Well, Nepal has given like I said, Tiny Hands, the permission to put these border monitoring stations in and then employ border guards. They can actually interview everybody coming through the border. See, right now, the traffickers, they don't have to smuggle or hide the girls because they've been tricked. The girls willingly go with these people thinking that they're going across the border to get a job. And so the border monitoring stations, the guards, can, when they see people come through, they can tell when something looks a little suspicious, and they conduct interviews. And so consequently, each one of these border monitoring stations is intercepting on average about 120 girls per year that are just being brought straight across the border. And the traffickers are being prosecuted, and the girls are most time returned back to their families, or if that's not an option, they're put in one of the homes or find a, anything is better than what they're about to be brought into.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they try to take care of those girls. And so it's a way to prevent, and some of these girls are literally as young as 9 years old. I mean, it's terrible. And so we thought, you know what, this is a tangible thing. There's 26 border points between Nepal and India. We want to adopt 5 of these stations and then support them with staff for 5 years. And how we're going to do it is we're going to give our album away, but we made a video. It's about 4 or 5 minutes long, telling people about Mina's story, how she escaped, telling people about what we're trying to do. And if people feel compelled to donate anything toward the album, it all goes to this project. We give it all to Tiny Hands for this specific project. And we've recorded another special album for anybody that gives anything. So it's a very simple concept. You know, it's like, hey, if you want to join us, if you give as much as you would normally give for an album, here's what it's going to. And come join our campaign. And what I'm excited for is in 2014, we're going to make a trip to Nepal. And I'd love to have a giant poster or sticker of everyone that's either bought an album or donated in any sort of way and show people, look what we've completed together. Here's one small dent we've made in this terrible thing called trafficking, and we've rescued 3,000 girls. I mean, I lead worship at a pretty big church in Lincoln, and we have about 3,700 come in a weekend. And often when I'm looking out at people in the congregation, I'm thinking, wow, if God blesses, you know, our little idea, we could rescue this many girls. And it blows my mind that just even one girl would be worth it, you know?
Yep. And the incidence of trafficking is mind-boggling, not only the number of girls and now even boys, but the number of times that they're raped a day. And so it is the most horrific crime against humanity, and it's happening in increasing measures. So I love that God is raising up people to be voices and creative ways to put a stop to it. And, you know, Brian, one of the ways that I pray every day, and I keep just bringing this out when I'm out speaking, just saying if every single believer could pray a prayer along these lines, you know, put a firewall between the wicked and the weak, put a firewall between the wicked and the vulnerable, so that they're all, you think of these millions who never do get abducted. And then there's Psalm 75:10. It says, I will cut off the strength of the wicked and increase the power of the godly. So, you know, if we can give our resources to causes like what you're talking about, but also stand on the wall and intercede that those who are vulnerable and unsuspecting never have the horrific thing happen to them that could happen. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
My goodness. Talk about the incidents in Nepal of trafficking and of girls and of what's going on there.
Well, there's about 15 to 16,000 girls that are being taken across the border every year. And, you know, I've really honed in on our specific campaign and what we're doing and what we're trying to stop. You know, it'd be great if I had someone here from Tiny Hands that could tell you every, you know, way more stories than I know. But I know that even what we're doing puts us a small dent in it, and it happens every year. But, hey, it's something... It's something we can do, and it's so simple. I love that they also have people that are covertly rescuing girls out of these situations, and I love that that's taking place as well. But the fact that we can stop horrible tragedy like this from happening, and even if when you watch the video and you see Mina have the courage to share her story because she didn't want this to happen to anyone else, I feel like she started this. She's the one that said, well, she used her voice to hope that someone would hear it, and we've heard it, and so we're putting that plea out there to get people to help, and it's great to see how people have responded. Mm-hmm. Some have just like, oh, you know what, yeah, I'll just spend what I normally would spend on an album and know that it's going to a great cause. I've had other people contact me personally and go, hey, we want to be involved more than that. We actually potentially want to go with you to Nepal next year, or we want to give this amount. And so it's really cool to see how people are responding in different ways. And really, this is in God's hands now, you know. And I told Tiny Hands, hey, if we get way more than we ever hope to get, then that's just more to use. The band is never going to take a cent of it, and we'll just do more for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of fun to have a creative idea and commit it to the Lord and to see what he'll do.
And the fact that you're stewarding it the way that you are, it'll be amazing to see what God does in and through you. And when we took a trip to Guatemala with IJM, and these precious people, they would wrap their arms around you going, you mean there's people in a whole other world that actually are thinking about us? Really? People care about us? They're mind-boggled at the thought of it. And you know these little girls in these brothels are wondering, does anybody care that I'm
anybody
here?
Care. Mm. Absolutely.
And that you are saying, yep, we definitely do. And we have to be mobilized, because it's like, okay, so set up the song Love Found Me, if you would.
Well, Love Found Me is really my story in a nutshell. It's three words that really describe the gospel. You know, you think it's me making an intellectual decision for God, but really when you look back on the other side, you go, you know what, God, you sought me out. Your love found me, opened my eyes to your goodness. Mm-hmm. And so then we wanted to name the campaign Love Found Me, because we want to take that same love and go find these helpless girls that can't help and save themselves, and we just want to mirror what God has done for us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just a worship song, and it kind of sums my life up, because really the second verse talks about how I thought I could lose God too. You know, when growing up in kind of that real strict legalistic background, you think, oh, God is just, he's always so unhappy with me. And, you know, and that the verse goes, scared that I could lose you, afraid that I might let you go. And really, I'm a fool to think that my hands ever really held God at all. It was him that came for me, you know, and nothing can take that away. So, and we all need that reminding that who we are in Christ, we're sons and daughters of the living God, and that is something that our hearts often grow cold to and want to forget.
Oh, such a good word, Brian. Okay, let's hear this song, Love Found Me. Maybe this is just a reminder that you need today. He's got you. Listen in.
Thank you. knew something was missing. I knew something was just not right. I couldn't call life normal when death just made a joke of life.
Wow, do I love that song, Brian. That was amazing. We are sons and daughters of the living God. Powerful. Thank you for that song. Wow, that's amazing.
Thank you.
I don't know what else to say. Wow. So I'm sure one of my books is on the trafficking issue. It's about our freedom, but then about their literal freedom, about us getting the land back, the enemy's stolen. But as the women read each chapter at the end, there's a prayer for the reader, but then a prayer for the girl who's in the brothel. And I just know the warfare I went through. Half of the royalties goes to IJM, but I'm just going to say the warfare I went through after writing that, during that book, I was so bloodied and bruised up by the end. I didn't know. I feel like I awakened a sleeping beast taking on this project. I'm quite sure you go through your own forms of opposition. Can you talk about that a little bit? Just, you know, because you're doing something that the enemy hates and that God loves. What kind of battles have you faced?
Well, you know, I'm also a full-time worship leader at my church, Lincoln. And because my church is so kingdom-minded, you know, they allow me to continue to do things with VODA, and that's how I've been able to be creative and go, you know what, we can do this with our album, we can give this up because my church is so great in supporting me, and I'm able to take care of my family. So that being said, I feel like my battles come all around that. Sometimes you think, oh, you know, I'm just putting songs together and leading people in worship. It's like, no, we are doing the work of God, and forces of evil don't want that. So yeah, I feel those attacks coming everywhere, coming the voices in my head saying I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, you know, all those sort of things that you can kind of cripple yourself in, where you won't take any steps forward because you're just too focused on yourself sometimes and your
yep.
failures, and not on that fact that we're sons and daughters of the living God, and it's always by what He's done for us on the cross that gives us our value and worth, and that He can use us, and you know, nothing else. It's all this, even the good and bad that we've gone through, that God, the devil will try to tear us down and try to bring something in our life to bring us down, but God always flips that upside down and uses it for His glory.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's subtle things, you know, attacks on your family, whether it's pulling time away, things that happen in school with my kids, and you just feel those subtle attacks when you're engaged in God's work. And
so,
you know, you obviously have dove so deep into the subject to write a book on it, and maybe you're feeling that maybe even more than me, but I just feel like the attacks in general, based on what I'm doing and being a pastor at my church and trying to lead people to go out and live for the kingdom and wherever God's called them.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that and appreciate you standing fast. And so we just have just a handful of minutes left, but I'd love to know, as you've really acquainted yourself with a suffering that's not your own, but it's Christ, how has that impacted your faith? Because, you know, an Americanized version of Christianity, we really can put our head in the sands and enjoy our comfortable life, but that isn't the gospel, really. And so I'd love to know, just as you've gained a global view and engaged in some of these struggles, how has it impacted your own personal faith?
Well, it's definitely strengthened
mm-hmm.
it, you know. I mean, often I can feel guilty that my emotions aren't always in line up even with the work I'm doing, whether I'm leading worship on a Sunday or involved in this campaign. You know, sometimes there's so much going on at once. I just, even with a congregation of 3,000 to 4,000 people, you've got people that are on the joyous side of life, where everything God is just blessing and things are so joyful, and some people in the same congregation that are going through some of the hardest times, and how can one person hold that? It's so difficult to do, and so sometimes you feel numb to it, you feel inadequate, and that's and you really you have these moments, like when I share a story with you about my grandma that I've shared 100 times, and it's almost like God refreshed my soul, and yep, I did that, and I'm still working on the family members that you continue to love, that you want to see to know God. You know, sometimes how easy we go back into doubt, thinking that God's not going to work again, or He's going to leave us now. And
isn't that the truth?
We're just like the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just kind of go back through the same cycle. And so really, just when people like you and your show want to give what we're doing a voice, it's just that affirmation that, you know, this crazy idea was worthwhile and was worth it. And we've already done so much already, and so that gives you that affirmation and confidence that, okay, Lord, yeah, you know, even if we don't meet our goal fully or we fall on our face, we're trying to do something, and there's no rule book for some of these things, and sometimes you just got to put yourself out there, but God's been with us through that, and it's so great when you get evidence of that. God goes, yep, I'm here with you on this, you know. Mm-hmm. I haven't left you. So,
well, I feel like this is a day of innovation, and a day of much hardship and even financial turmoil. This is a day when people really are, I believe, hearing from God and doing things that are out of the box because they have to. And I think we're seeing some great leaders emerge in this time, and you are one of them for sure. So I really appreciate what you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. So we just have a couple minutes left before it's time to pray. Do you have a story of any of the girls that Tiny Hands has rescued? Any kind of backstory you want to give us?
No, I mean not at this. Other than Mina's story, mm-hmm. which, you know, she gets to share a little bit on that video.
Mm-hmm.
I think her story is really what impacting people,
and
she was daring enough to actually escape, and then able to find the courage beyond that to share the story.
Was that her dad sitting on the couch next to her?
Yes, it was.
Oh, my goodness. Because I'm watching the video, watching him, and you can just imagine what he's, you know, going through as he's listening to her. He's kind of looking away, almost like he's disengaging, but you can tell it's probably just killing him inside.
No, it is. And it's the first time he's hearing the story.
Oh,
too.
My goodness.
And there's more to it. And I know, you know, and we were only able to, there's a lot more video, there's a lot more to the story, but part of our idea was, you know what, we have a very limited time to grab people's attention, and here's what we can tell, you know, because people aren't going to sit through, strangers aren't going to sit through a half hour in this day and age, but we want to be able to at least hook people's hearts, and if they want to get involved beyond that and know more of the story, they sure can, you know, And there's a lot more to Mina's story now that people can find out, and you can find out through Tiny Hand's website. But I'm looking forward to God finishing and blessing this campaign, and then, based on what we've all did together, being able to tell some of those stories. We're not able to tell these stories yet. You know, we're working toward that.
Mm. And you're hoping to travel to Nepal in 2014, you said?
Yes, and we're also taking a fan with us. Basically, anyone that's involved in the campaign that has just even shared the link with people, they're all kind of, we're going to choose a Voda fan to come with us, and I'm sure we'll make video of it and just kind of document everything we did. There's a radio station that has decided on their own they're going to adopt one of the stations, and they're going to raise all the funds necessary to support one station. Mm. So to see that, you know, radio stations need to raise money for their own thing. And the fact that they've taken this and go, we're going to partner with you in this, it's so fun to see all the different ways people are coming together. So.
And what kind of money are we talking about there to take on a station like that?
Well, for five stations for 5 years is $150,000. So they're coming up with $30,000.
That's amazing. $30,000. Good for them.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was just blown away because I know stations that don't do commercials, what they have to come up with on their own. And you know, when I'm sitting in the board meeting and there's 9 or 10 people from the station sitting there and planning out in the hall how they're going to come alongside, it's another one of those things going, wow, Lord, how cool to just be a part of your work. And, you know, I can't do this alone. And I might come up with a crazy idea, but it takes so many other people to to fulfill it. And
that's
the beauty of working together. And I hope people are encouraged in that because in coming up with their own ideas and trying some things. I had a teenage girl that knows how to make scarves, and she decided, hey, I'm gonna make scarves to support this campaign, and she put a Facebook page together, and just how cool is that, you know, that to inspire others to see how they can do what they can do.
Yeah, indeed. Well, one of the things I love so much about this campaign is, as you said, you're getting the girls before they're traumatized, which is the ideal situation because, you know, even rescuing them is a great, great thing, but they are scarred in such a deep way after what they've seen. And so to intercept this before it ever happens is amazing. So, yeah. Well, this has been great, Brian. And I just, the time's gone by so fast. So I just would love to have you just pray. For that person listening today, we just have a few seconds, but just pray for that person listening today, if you wouldn't mind, that's hearing you going, I need to step up and get engaged in a way that's greater than what I've been doing, just with God and with His heart for the world. Would you pray?
Sure, I absolutely would. Father, we thank you for your patient love toward us. It just comes like a gentle flow that will never escape us. And Lord, we don't want to make anyone feel guilty for just to add more weight to their shoulders of things that they may not be doing. But Father, we just want to see how much you've done for us and how much you continue to do for us, and for us to be bold to not keep it all to ourselves, but to reflect the love that you've shown for us on others. And for those that that aren't involved in anything, Lord, they don't need to be involved in this campaign, but to do something. And maybe it's coming up with something unique on their own. But that's really just about living the kingdom now. You know, not someday when we're all together in heaven, but you want us to bring heaven to earth now, and for your children, your sons and daughters, to love this world so they see something different in us and they see people that truly care. And it's only going to happen when we see how much you care for us.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Brian, thank you for your time today. Really appreciate it. That's been a blessing. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of this interview on our website at myfaithradio.com.